Once again, let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we?
Father, we count ourselves privileged to be able to be here tonight, looking into your word, seeing what you have for us. I pray that you would get the glory. I pray that what ought to be said would be, and that you might instruct us, teach us truth we need with regards to our hearts, the condition of them. Lord, you know us completely. You even know our thoughts before we think them. And I pray that tonight you would show us your way. We thank you and praise you in your name. Amen. Let's call this one tonight a sound heart, Andrew. If you were with us last Sunday night, we were in Psalm 119, verse 80, which says, let my heart be sound or blameless in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. And we saw that the word which is translated sound here was stating David's desire to be without spot or without blame in those areas, the statutes, which were written or engraved, which were not negotiable. And we saw that David's desire that he was expressing there was that his heart would be such that in those things that God has taught us in his word, like the statutes engraved in stone, the Ten Commandments, those were not negotiable. And also, there were many, many other statutes later on that God gave his people. And the whole gist of it was, David was saying, I want my heart to be blameless when it comes to my response to those things that are not negotiable that you have for me, Lord. And if it's not going to be blameless, that means that we are doing what with those statutes? We're obeying them. And we learned in even 1 John chapter 2, weeks and weeks ago, that that was one of the evidences of those that truly do know and love the Lord. They're going to do what with his word? They will be keeping it. So that was what we saw last week, but we pointed out that, as is so many times, a word that we see as we open our Bibles looks the same, whether it's in Psalms or whether it's in Proverbs. We discovered that there was another place where the writer suggested that I want my heart to be sound. And our text tonight is Proverbs 14:30, which says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. And we saw that a sound heart sounds the same, but it's two different words. And so we want to take a look at this second one this evening, where he says a sound heart is the life of the flesh. And as we think of this, what does this mean? What's this second word mean? Well, first of all, by definition, this word comes from the word which is has reference to curative, C-U-R-A-T-I-V-E. That sounds like a what? A cure for something. It comes from the word which means from curative, or a medicine. It regards our health, our healing, remedy, wholesome repair, or to make whole. I looked at another source, and my lexicon on this particular word talks about how that has reference to the health of the mind. The health of the mind. A healthy, composed mind. Our mind, that has to do with our what? Our thoughts, doesn't it? Are our thoughts important? Do they have any bearing on our lives? Do our thoughts even have any bearing on our health? Certainly they do. Someone who is constantly depressed, discouraged, lives in despair. What's the point? As opposed to one who is appreciative, thankful, one who is, what would we say, confident, and they are not hesitant to try something new and try to work on things. Is there a difference in these two individuals, the one who is always depressed and down, and one who is encouraged and perhaps an encourager of another? Yes or no? Sure there is. Sure there is. How was this used? Our second question here, our second point. We see what this word is and what it's referring to. A sound heart is the hell, or the life of the flesh. The life of the flesh has reference to what? Us, our bodies. And a sound heart, a composed, healthy mind is good for one's health. You say, Pastor, you sound like you're kind of getting into some of that, philosophical stuff. And maybe you've been reading some of those books that we try to steer people away from. Well, you stick with us, and hopefully you'll see where we're going with this. How is it used? In what way is Solomon speaking of the heart? Let's see literally the heart. In the actual physical realm, when you go to the doctor, is it coincidental or is it just almost expected that doesn't matter which doctor you go to, they are concerned about your heart, yes or no? Yeah, they are. You can go there for an elbow that aches, and you're lucky getting out of there without them strapping that stethoscope, plugging it in their ears, and say, while I'm here, let me have a listen to your heart. Well, you know, I didn't come in here for you to listen to my heart. I got an elbow that hurts. I just want to see. They're always interested in our hearts. Why? What good is everything else when there is a bad ticker? Yes or no? If the heart's not right, we've got problems. Why? The heart is the life of the flesh, our whole body. And by the same literal comparison, it's known, and we mentioned this a moment ago, things like envy, jealousy, zeal for the wrong things, they often contribute to health problems. As I talked about this depressed, discouraged person, as opposed to one who was constantly on the upbeat and encouraged and always seeing the bright side of life and the things that life has to offer. We find in Job chapter 5, verse 2b, these words: envy slayeth the silly or simple one. Envy. It's going to cause problems, Job says. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who can stand before, let me see here. I can't even read my own writing. That's bad, isn't it? Jealousy. Jealousy, 27 verse 4. Who can stand, who is able to stand, not jealousy, but envy? Who can stand before envy? Wrath is bad, anger is outrageous, but you really want to see some problems. Who can stand before somebody who is envious? It causes problems. But in all honesty, I don't believe that Solomon, here in our text verse tonight, in Proverbs 14:30, was speaking literally. I believe he was speaking figuratively. And we find many examples regarding the heart and some scriptural examples of that. Let me just read that to you and just call to your attention. And I'm not going to give you time to find these. I've recorded a list. I'll give you the word and then I'm going to give you the reference, but you got to write fast, okay? What makes you think that Solomon isn't talking literally about a bad ticker, literally speaking? What makes you think he's talking figuratively, speaking in perhaps a spiritual matter, just simply because the way we find so many references in other locations? For instance, we find in Proverbs 15:13 reference to a merry heart. How can your ticker in your chest be merry? I mean, it just pumps blood, just thumps and pumps. We find in Proverbs 15:30, it talks about sorrow of the heart. In Proverbs 25, verse 20, makes reference to a heavy heart. Heavy heart? Well, I mean, it's right there in your ribs. It's not heavy, is it? Well, we're speaking figuratively. What about, there are numerous references, and I just give you one, Psalm 34:18, to a broken heart. That's not literal, that's figurative in the scriptures. Or Psalm 16:8-9, the reference to a glad heart. A glad heart. We find in Psalm 61, verse 2, an overwhelmed heart. We're talking figurative terms here. We're not talking literally. What about Psalm 73:21, a grieved heart? Or Psalm 109:22, a wounded heart? You say, well, that does that mean that maybe somebody poked something through your ribs and it damaged your heart? No, it's figurative language. Just like I believe when this writer of Proverbs says a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Well, we could talk about Psalm 143, verse 4, a desolate heart. Or how about a sick heart in Proverbs 13:12? Well, I think we get the point. We've seen enough. So as we look at this, I think it's safe to conclude that Solomon could have figurative language in his mind. And assuming that, let's ask ourselves, number three, what are the characteristics of a sound heart? If we're talking figurative, not literal, what are the characteristics of a sound heart? Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 27, verse 14. 27, verse 14. It says here, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What characteristic might we see in that 14th verse? Pardon? Patient. That's a good word. A trusting, a heart that is patient, it's trusting, it's waiting on the Lord. We're taking things to the Lord in prayer. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're asking for. And that's a characteristic of a sound heart, one that is waiting patiently on the Lord. You got a patient heart? You got a sound heart in this way? Here's another one, B. Psalm 51, 17. Psalm 51, 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Here we see in this verse one of the characteristics, or a couple of characteristics, a broken and a contrite heart. We find here the writer of Psalms is talking about when he says, what you're looking for, God, you don't want, if we want to come before you with something that is pleasing in your sight, you don't want us to be bringing sacrifices to you. What you're looking for is the condition of our heart. Are we humble? Are we still insisting on our way? Are we looking unto you? Are we depending upon you, a broken, broken. Lord, it's up to you. I don't have any say in this. I'm turning to you because I have no other source. I'm counting on you, a broken and a contrite heart. C, 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34. And we see here in verses 27 and 28 these words. Because, let's see here. Yes, because thine heart was tender. And thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardst his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledst, that's quite a mouthful, humbledst thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers. Thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. This was words from a prophet to Josiah the king. And when he heard what God intended to do, one of the characteristics of a sound heart was a heart that is tender and humble. Tender and humble. Humble is the opposite of what? Proud. A tender and a humble heart. Tender heart, to me, suggests one that is pliable, one that is willing to be directed. If our heart is hard and our heart is set, we're not going to be following the leading of the Lord, but one that hears what God has in mind, hears God's intention, understands what God's will, and the heart is tender, it's humble, and realizes that a change needs to be made. That is a sound heart. D, here's another one, 2 Chronicles 17. 2 Chronicles 17. Here's another characteristic of a sound heart. It says here regarding Jehoshaphat, we find Jehoshaphat, it says that he, verse 4, he sought the Lord God of his fathers, walked in his commandments, not after the doings of Israel. The Lord established his kingdom, but look at verse 6. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. An unusual way of describing a sound heart, isn't it? We don't normally think of one whose heart is lifted up as a healthy sound heart, do we? But what was his heart lifted up in, according to verse 6? The ways of the Lord. His heart was responsive to what God was directing. And we find that the picture that's given here is one of those characteristics of a sound heart. Note takers, and we're moving along here. We're not going to turn to this, but I know some of you like to take notes. Let me give you some more, and we're going to move on to the next point. But E, you could jot down Psalm 15:2. One of the characteristics is this one speaks the truth in his heart. And F, Psalm 27, verse 8, it's one that seeks the Lord. Characteristics of a sound heart. It's one that's waiting on the Lord. Broken, contrite, not heady, headstrong. one that is tender and humble, one that's his heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord. That's the most important thing to him. He speaks the truth in his heart and he seeks the Lord. Well, this leads us to ask perhaps a logical question. If all of that is true, number three or four, what contributes to a sound heart? What contributes to a sound heart? We see once again in our text in Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Envy is like a cancer. What is it that's going to contribute to a sound heart? Well, let's notice here. Here's something. Proverbs 17:22. It tells us, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Go back to 15:13, and it says here, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. So what contributes to a sound heart? A merry heart. What else? Proverbs 16:23 and 24. It says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words. Here's another one, Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Look at verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish doth not so. We find a merry heart contributes to a sound heart. Pleasant words, wholesome tongue. How do we use our tongues? How do we use our mouths? It contributes to our health spiritually, doesn't it? God's wisdom, appreciated and applied. There's another thing that contributes to a sound heart. God's wisdom, appreciated and applied. Look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, look at verse 20. It tells us, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. God's word, and we find example after example from this same thought of how that what contributes to a sound heart when we receive and apply God's truth, how good it is to our lives. Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. Length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. Do you think that this was only written here for the literal application of what the Father was speaking? No, Solomon was writing here, encouraging his son to listen to God's truth and apply God's truth to them. We find here verse 7 of Proverbs 3. Let's go back further. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And what are you going to discover? How's that going to, what good is that going to do for you? It'll be health to your navel or your body and marrow to your bones. It's going to be good. It's going to contribute to a right heart in the eyes of the Lord. A sound heart, a heart and life saturated with the Word of God and the ways of God probably best describe a sound, healthy heart. And we find that spiritually, if the heart's not sound, all the other things are of no value. If the heart's not right, just like with our bodies, if the doctor finds there's something wrong with our heart, we've got some physical problems. And in the same sense, here in our text, the writer of Proverbs is telling us that the sound heart is going to be for the good of and the health of our bodies. May we ask God to give us sound hearts for His glory. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? We're thankful, Father, for this quick look at a number of references here with regard to our souls, our spiritual hearts. You know what the writer of Proverbs was talking about. Just like physically speaking, when there's something wrong with our heart, it has to be attended to. The doctor is quite concerned. Lord, may you open our eyes to see this principle in the spiritual realm. You know our hearts. Man looks on the outward appearance, but you look on our hearts. When you look at us, do you see in us sound hearts? Or do you see hearts that are faulty and faltering in your ways? Help us find the application to your glory, we pray, in your name.